You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. It's not known if John McCain expected the response to the naming of his running mate, Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, but certainly it was the most surprising and possibly least scripted moment at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. The ascendancy of Sarah Palin has created a kind of a third rail in American politics. It's dominated the discussion of the suitability of candidates for president and vice president, and has raised all sorts of issues about child care and family. And I gather, Jane Swift, former Republican governor of Massachusetts, that when you saw Sarah Palin on your television, you might have said to yourself, here we go again.
Well, I was hoping that maybe we were beyond some of the debates about whether or not women with young children can have some of the highest political positions in the country, but apparently we're ripe for that debate again.
Describe your situation. You have a set of twins, and congratulations, I have two sets of twins, but I didn't deliver them myself. You, of course, are the
mom.
Well,
I figured out what caused them after the first pair.
I see. What was your experience, and how frustrating was it for you to be both a politician and a mom in the way that you were treated?
Well, my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, was born several weeks before my first statewide election in 1998. And so I started the job of lieutenant governor with an infant. And then a month after I became governor, I gave birth to a set of fraternal twins. So my three daughters all arrived at critical moments in my professional career as I was going through the ranks in politics. And certainly there were days that were difficult, and I was very, very busy. But I also believe it made me a better governor to have young children at home. I had little tolerance for the nonsense that goes on in politics because I had other important responsibilities. And I also think it gave me a good perspective on a lot of pressing issues that face governors every day. And I suspect it is the same thing that fuels Governor Palin's reform agenda and her priorities.
Well, with Governor Palin in mind, Anne Marie, who's one of our listeners, sent an email to you directly. You were governor of Massachusetts when your children were very young. What do you think were the consequences, if any, Anne Marie asks, for your family in taking such a difficult and time-consuming job when they were so young?
Well, I think every family handles things differently. Ironically, mine has handled it very similarly to the way that the Palin family has handled it, which is my husband stayed at home and has been their primary caregiver, and my daughters are now 10 and my twins are 7. And I think they certainly have a different perspective on what women can do. But as I joke, my oldest daughter has a very sweet baseball swing from having a stay-at-home dad. I think what we really need to be focused on, though, from a public policy standpoint, is that there are many families who can't afford for one parent to stay at home. We need better tax treatment so that that is an option for them. And then we need a variety of better choices for families where both parents have to work because it's the economic necessity.
Here is something about even the questions that I'm asking that one of our listeners responded to. Take a listen to this, Governor.
Hi, this is Flory Johnson from the North Shore of Boston. And your question about whether supermoms can be politicians, it's unfair to raise that question without questioning the assumption behind it, which is part of our belief system that mothers are more responsible for their kids than fathers are.
So is this whole question, this whole debate, really unfair, as that listener suggests, Governor Swift?
Absolutely. I have refused for my entire political career to answer this question of, are you supermom, can you do it all, because nobody asks guys the same question.
Nobody asked, like, Catherine the Great that either, or Elizabeth the First, I suspect.
And I suspect you're right. I think this is actually a relatively new phenomena. You know, my grandmother immigrated here from Italy, and she and my grandfather worked every single day on a factory production line to give their daughter a future, and she stayed home. My mom was home with her grandmother. In fact, this year I unfortunately missed the first day of school because of the Republican convention. It's the first time I ever have, and my mother mentioned to my daughters that her mother never made it to the the first day of school. She didn't have that kind of flexibility. So I do think we need to focus on how does the experience of someone who has young children impact and affect their agenda. And a good example is Governor Palin's pledge to be a strong advocate for families who have children with special needs.
Does, and of course that's an issue in Governor Palin's life directly, and we can talk about that in a moment. But I'm wondering if Governor Palin makes it difficult to avoid these questions by leading, or at least the Republican ticket seems to want to lead with her family values of being a hometown mayor and mother of five, that if you lead with that issue, you're going to get these questions, and that's part of why these questions come up.
So I reject that premise. I think what she's led with is talking about taking on the Old Boy Network. The specific accomplishments she's referenced have to do with energy and building a pipeline project that had been long delayed, about how she's balanced the budget. The reality is when she walks on stage with her children, people focus on her role as a mother. And when a male vice presidential candidate walks on stage with his children, they focus on his policies. And so that is an inherent bias that the public has. And I don't think she's led with her family. In fact, I think she's only had her family around when a guy would have his family around as well. When you walk on stage to be announced and you introduce yourself, she moved pretty quickly into policy.
Here's a listener, Mary, who asks, it's possible to admire Sarah Palin's ability to organize her personal life while not admiring her stand on important issues. Working moms have been doing this for generations, but I hope Americans can concentrate on substantial issues and not be distracted by the novelty of Sarah Palin's selection as a VP choice. Do you think Sarah Palin can be universally admired as a mom, but people can differ about her politics?
I would be so happy if that's the point we ended up at. I think that's exactly what we want.
Pat says to us, I have no more right to tell Sarah Palin what she can do with her life and career than she has to tell me what to do with my body. There's a tightly woven argument there. What's your response to that?
My response is, to get back to the previous question, if the only issue that you want to vote in is the issue of abortion, you have a pretty clear choice in this election. For folks who are voting on a broader array of economic issues and a broader array of education and national security issues, it gets more complicated.
Now, Alice from Yonkers has a different sort of association here. My question's for all these supermoms who see themselves in Sarah Palin and plan to vote for her for that reason. Do you believe that you yourself are qualified to be leader of the free world? I fear we have come so far in demeaning our political leadership that we think the job requires no preparation. What do you think of that, Governor Swift?
Well, first of all, I don't think it requires no preparation. I think the person who's running for president, John McCain, has extraordinary preparation for the job. And I think Sarah Palin has unique qualifications, having been a governor of a small state, but a state that has significant importance to our energy resources, and also understanding just how tough it is to go up against entrenched political and business interests like Big Oil and like her own party. And so I think that she has demonstrated in a short period of time unique courage and a great grasp of some of the most important issues facing families throughout our country.
Now, you're speaking to us from Washington, right, Governor?
I am.
Down in Washington this morning, there's a story in the Washington Post about Governor Palin and her use of state money for moving her family around the state of Alaska. I'm wondering if that is familiar to you, who had to answer some of those same questions about your expenses in Massachusetts.
Well, again, I think that it is pretty clear that we dig deeper and look at different issues for women with children. There are a lot of issues that come with being a governor that are different from what other families are facing. And so this is where, when we apply that double standard, it can become pretty thorny.
Do you think your daughter would have a lesson or maybe some advice for Governor Palin as the campaign goes forth?
You know, they just want to meet her. They named their new Webkins last week Piper. I've had the chance to meet Piper. And, of course, my girls are at the age where they're enamored of babies, and so they're quite jealous that Piper got a baby and they're not getting one.
Well, Jane Swift, thank you very much for sharing your family situation and as part of your political career, former governor of Massachusetts, Republican governor of Massachusetts from 2001 to 2003. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for joining us for that conversation. There's lots of ways to catch up with us at The Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, FriendFeed, and Facebook. We're talking about super colliders and super moms. Kyle says on our site, did everyone forget that Governor Palin has a husband and family support system that will take care of her kids while she's out on the campaign trail? Here's your takeaway for this hour.
Perhaps in 10 or 20 years in time, we do have another Zimbabwe, and that is why it's important that we make these criticisms as well as give praise.
Democracy in Angola, that was Richard Howitt, the European Union observer to Angola, talking about elections in that country, the first elections in 16 years. Who should you vote for in the United States? Go to our website at The Takeaway. All you have to do is enter qualities you'd like to see in your next president, and other users will tell you who you should vote for. We're making politics easy. It's about the only thing we're making easy. On The Takeaway, I'm John Hockenberry.